Hello, folks. Welcome to episode 83 of The Hidden History of Texas. Today, it's all about the quiet history of book censorship here in Texas. There's a phrase we use and hear a lot, you know, here in Texas. It's don't mess with Texas. It's supposed to refer to us having a feeling of independence, grit, and self-reliance. But when it comes to books and who gets to read them, well, we Texans have a long, complicated history of messing with what our fellow Texans do. Today, when we hear about book bans or library purges, it can feel like something new, like a sudden crisis. But I tell you, the truth is far less comfortable. Book censorship in Texas isn't an anomaly, it's a tradition. And like most traditions, it tells us a lot about who has power and, almost more importantly, who's afraid of losing it. You know, there was a time before bans even had a name. In the early days of Texas, the Republic era, and the decades that followed, censorship didn't look like laws or official lists. It looked like and was social pressure. Church leaders, school trustees, local officials, parents with influence. If a book challenged religious belief, hinted at sexual impropriety, or questioned authority, it didn't need to be banned. It simply disappeared. Libraries didn't stock it, teachers sure didn't assign it, and bookstores quietly avoided it. The goal wasn't debate. The goal was moral formation. And in a deeply Protestant, socially conservative culture, which by any and all measures Texas was and is, books were judged not by what they explained or what the subject they taught, but by what they might encourage. And then, well, Texas kind of discovered the power of textbooks. Actually, the power over textbooks. By the early 20th century, Texas stumbled into something few states fully understood at the time, scale. Remember, people here were proud of saying, everything's bigger in Texas. Texas centralized textbook purchasing. One board, one decision, millions of students. The Texas State Board of Education became quietly one of the most powerful educational bodies in America. What Texas approved, publishers printed. What Texas rejected, publishers rewrote. Books were and are scrutinized for patriotism, religious compatibility, attitudes towards capitalism, portrayals of American history. Now, during the Red Scare, now some of you might be familiar with that phrase. It was used liberally during the 50s. It was a fear of communism, socialism. Now, although the first Red Scare actually took place from 1917 till probably about 1920, the one most of us are familiar with was, you know, after World War II and through the 50s. And anything that smelled remotely like socialism, labor organizing, or criticism of American power was suspect. History wasn't taught. It was curated. It was guided in a certain specific direction. Now, that did eventually, you know, cause some waves. And then when we had the Civil Rights era, well, here came the backlash. Because the 1960s and the 70s changed everything. We had desegregation, civil rights, Vietnam, feminism. Suddenly, books weren't just educational tools. They were political threats. Books by black authors began appearing in classrooms. Stories that acknowledged racism, poverty, anger, injustice. And the response in Texas, well, bless their hearts, bless our hearts, was predictable. The books were labeled divisive, inappropriate, anti-American. Not because they were inaccurate, but because they made students and their parents uncomfortable. and discomfort in Texas censorship history has often been mistaken for danger. I almost want to say danger, danger, Will Robinson, but danger. And so that gave birth to something which we call the rise of organized challenges. See, by the 1980s and 1990s, censorship went public. Parents didn't just complain, they organized. School board meetings became battlegrounds. Libraries were accused of corruption. Teachers were accused of indoctrination. Classic books were suddenly controversial. Huckleberry Finn, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, Judy Blume novels, sometimes for language, sometimes for sexuality, sometimes for race. Now, often, the solution wasn't outright removal, but restriction. Books moved behind desks. Permission slips were required. Access quietly narrowed. It wasn't called censorship. It was and still is called protection. And as we've progressed through times, well, in the 21st century, it suddenly becomes about identity and control. Yes, in the 2000s and the 2010s, the focus did shift. Not just sex, not just profanity, but identity. Books with LGBTQ plus characters, stories about immigration, discussions of systemic racism, gender identity, American history told from the margins. Texas libraries and schools face mounting pressure, not just from parents, but from politicians, funding threats, public lists, vague accusations. The message was clear. Certain stories were acceptables, others were dangerous. And as we turned into the 2020s, well, it's a whole new phase. What we're seeing now in Texas isn't just more censorship. It's formalized pressure. State-level security, legislative language, fear among librarians and educators that doing their jobs could cost them their career or worse. Books are being and have been challenged not for graphic content, but for ideas, for acknowledging history, for naming injustice, for existing. And once again, the justification is familiar. This is about protecting children. But historically, that phrase has almost always meant protecting adults from uncomfortable truths. Every major wave of book censorship in Texas follows the same pattern. Social change happens. New voices are heard. Old power feels threatened. Books become the battleground. Not because books are dangerous, but because they're persuasive. They invite empathy. They complicate narratives. They refuse simple answers. And that, perhaps more than anything else, is what those who want to censor fear the most. You know, when you look at things, Texas, well, we like to think of ourselves as being bold, independent, and unafraid. But our history with books suggests something else. That when ideas challenge identity, when stories disrupt comfort, when history refuses to stay quiet, Texas and Texans, well, have often reached not for debate, but for removal. The question isn't whether book censorship exists here. It always has. The real question is whether this generation will finally decide that a free person shouldn't be afraid of a book. I'm Hank Wilson, and this has been The Hidden History of Texas.